Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. This is your host, Webster G. Tarpley, broadcasting from Washington, D.C., a special world intelligence briefing on the eve of a wider war, on the brink of general war, thanks to the neocon fascist madmen in the Bush administration. As Zbigniew Brzezinski points out, even Zbigniew Brzezinski can see that the United States government is the only one in the world that insists on seeing the world in such Manichaean delusions as the current Bush administration. And it's time now to choose whether you're going to let your life and your hopes for your children and everything that you've ever lived for and stood for and fought for be destroyed in the thermonuclear fireball of what is being prepared by these absolute lunatics that have got to be stopped, impeached, removed from office, jailed, indicted, driven from public life, scorned, isolated, and otherwise shut down in every political aspiration. Time for most of them to go into exile, I would say, right? Remember the famous speech Cicero to Catiline, "Catiline, because of these things, go into exile. Quae cum ita sint, conferte in exilium, Catilina." Neocons, go into exile. Now, the other question here is, the London Times earlier in January had pointed to the fact that the Israelis are actively planning their own nuclear attack on Iran. This is even dicier, less likely to succeed than the U.S. one, meaning not likely at all to succeed. But they're doing it. They're practicing. We know the Israeli Air Force is flying from Israel at one end of the Mediterranean all the way to Gibraltar at the other end. And with those Gibraltar runs, they are getting ready. Now, of course, if they attack, they're going to have to go through Turkey. Big crisis for Turkey if they let them do it. Through Saudi Arabia, tremendous crisis for Saudi Arabia if they let the Israelis fly over that way, or through Jordan and Iraq. And if it's Jordan, big crisis for Jordan and a clear complicity of the United States in the whole thing, which won't surprise anybody. Back in a minute on World Crisis Radio.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Many of us have unhealthy habits that we've accumulated over the years. Often our bodies are crying out for the nutritional building blocks we require to stay young and strong, but we simply ignore the signs. Inner Health Botanicals, home of Inner Food, the revolutionary energy drink, and Nutra Cafe, the healthier coffee, offers natural and organic whole food supplements that are keys to optimum health. Our Inner Food formula delivers increased energy, incredible nutrition, and consistent use will support your immune system, greatly benefiting your health. Inner Health uses as many organic, wildcrafted whole foods and herbs as possible. Wholesome nutrition and a healthy immune system make a huge difference in your lifestyle. Heal yourself through whole foods and herbal nutrition. Visit Inner Health at innerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-food.com. Or call 866-762-9238. Inner Health is your one-stop source for energy, nutrition, and health. Look for daily specials.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. I'm your host, Webster Tarpley, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. We're just rounding out the details of the war plan as it's evident from the world media, what is about to happen between the U.S. and Iran, an unprovoked aggression on the side of the United States against Iran, carried out with nuclear weapons and leading to the end of the world as we have known it. Let's stress that point. This will be the end of the world as we have known it, an act of wanton aggression in the face of a decidedly hostile and antagonistic world public opinion, sick and tired of the neocon fascist madmen and their endless recourse to war, aggression, threats, racism, and the global war on terror, that wonderful myth that covers the fact that the U.S., of course, employs PKK terrorists, MEK terrorists, Ahvaz Liberation Front terrorists, Chechen terrorists living here openly in Washington, D.C., and so on up and down the line. The likely response of Iran, first of all, is that the air defense is going to be much more robust than anybody in the U.S. Air Force would like to see. Those 29 Tor M1 missiles recently delivered from Russia are reportedly operational, and they will exact a fearsome toll as the attack waves come in. So this is not worth finding out about. It's better to avoid this confrontation. The Iranians have the ability to block the Straits of Hormuz, to interdict all kinds of sea traffic in the Gulf. That is to say, all the U.S. supplies for Iraq that have to come through the Arabian Sea, the Gulf of Oman, the Strait of Hormuz, and the Gulf will be subject to mines, torpedoes, artillery rounds, silkworm missiles, Exocet missiles, sunburn missiles, the most formidable, the feared Yakonsk, a cruise missile big enough to sink a supertanker or an aircraft carrier with a single hit. And that, of course, will then mean the cutting of the supply lines to the 160,000 U.S. forces sitting now in a desperate and hopeless predicament in landlocked central Iraq. Again, all of this much better not to find out about. Remember, it's also not necessary physically to interdict the military shipments there. If you remember the reflagging crisis of 1987, a few mines set loose by the Iranians against Iraq and Kuwait and the Gulf Cooperation Council led to a skyrocketing of the insurance premiums for the tankers to such a point that it was no longer profitable to send those ships up and down the Gulf in the presence of mines. And that is the merest hint of what is coming now. The Iranians, of course, also have missiles, medium-range missiles. They presumably have various kinds of warheads. Some of them may be high explosive. Some of them may be worse things. Better not to find out about it, but they will come down on the Israelis, on the U.S. bases in Qatar, in Iraq, on Saudi Arabia, on other people that are considered to be complicit in the attack. And above all, then, the biggest danger is that at that point, the Badr brigades of His Eminence Hakim would probably get the word to begin attacking the long and exposed supply lines of the U.S. forces in southern Iraq, in that critical area, Basra, Nasiriyah, Najaf. And here we have now a big open debate on the fact that the British are departing from this area. Let me, even before we get to this, let me just point out what William Lind had to say at antiwar.com. The U.S. seems to be preparing to attack the Mahdi army inside Iraq. And if this happens, there will be responses. And this is now the surge, right, the surge on the ground that Bush is talking about. As William Lind writes, he says, if the U.S. attempts to kill or capture the Mahdi army leaders, Muqtada Sadr is the most important one, the Mahdi army would not have to respond in Baghdad. The classical guerrilla response in such a case is to retreat from the area where the enemy is attacking and hit him somewhere else. An obvious place would be in Iraq's Shiite south, with the U.S. supply convoys coming up from Kuwait as the target. Another response would be to match the U.S. escalation of raids with an escalation of mortar and rocket attacks on the Green Zone. And as we go after their leaders, he says, they can return the favor by going after ours. This already may be going on. It's made, obviously, much worse by the fact that the British, Perfide Albion, are leaving southern Iraq. They are not surging at all. We have an article by Martin Rice Oxley in the Christian Science Monitor pointing out that the 7,000 British forces are leaving. Zalmay Khalilzad is plaintively asking for the British to stay. The longer we stay here, the better. We have Professor George Jaffe, Middle East expert at the Center for International Studies, Cambridge University. He says, look, you cannot pretend there is no rift between the U.S. and the British over strategy. the British are determined to get out of Iraq come what may, whether they have a secure situation in Basra or not. The British forces in Basra, separated between the palace and the airport, are vulnerable to any attempt by a militant group to pick them off. And the idea here is that the base is called Shaibah, S-H-A-I-B-A-H, and the British are leaving, and the British are going to be leaving, and no amount of pleading by the U.S. and the British is going to help. The British political leadership is desperately keen to reduce the number of British forces in Iraq, says Sir Hilary Sinnott, formerly coordinator of the coalition in southern Iraq. The British claim that they're doing all the fighting in Afghanistan, so they need more troops to lose more in Afghanistan rather than lose them in Iraq. This is an argument, of course, worthy of Hillary Clinton. U.S. plea to Britain, don't abandon main Iraq base, but it's not going to be listened to. Also notice that in the case of the British establishment is showing some resistance against being dragged into the abyss of the Third World War. These are survivors by now, right? This is a dead imperialism, but one that has been able to live on in another form. The key slander here is Lord Cashpoint. Lord Levy, the money man or bag man for Tony Blair, has been arrested again. And the idea here is that if you wanted to be a Knight of the Garter or a member of the House of Lords, you just had to pay several million pounds into the coffers of the Labour Party, actually a kind of sweetheart loan that you would never get back. Lord Cashpoint is now in jail, and Tony Blair may be on his way to jail. He could be out within a week, and if that happens, that's good. The U.S. establishment could learn a lot from what's going on in London. For example, Cheney will be testifying at the Libby trial quite soon, and there had better be a perjury trap waiting for him so that he can be rounded up and taken into custody right after he testifies, and that would put the fear of God into the other tenant of the White House at this point. Now, the other big question looming over the entire military situation is the Chinese capability to destroy a satellite. This happened now in the end of January, right? The Chinese announced that they had destroyed one of their own satellites. Now, the narrow technical question is, anti-satellite weapons come in many types. An anti-satellite weapon can be another satellite that gets near the target satellite and simply explodes. It can also be a kind of a hunter-killer satellite that has a kind of a shotgun built into it that shoots a whole bunch of pellets and destroys the target satellite. But above and beyond these crude versions that were available decades ago to the Soviets and indeed to the U.S. too, there is the definite possibility that the Chinese used a laser to destroy their own satellite. And this, of course, is then a very significant change in the world military situation. Let me just give some details about this and then perhaps comment on the significance.
At 5:30 in the morning, there's four $800 charges.
We have a statement from Senator Kyle of Arizona, Republican. And he says he's not happy with that. He wants Bush to make more of a big deal out of the destruction of the satellite. And Kyle says, this is from Voice of America News, not widely picked up, but Voice of America News on January 30th has Senator Kyle saying, the United States faces a multifaceted threat from China, including the development of kinetic methods such as anti-satellite missiles. This would be the old kind, these things that I've just been talking about, but then also directed energy techniques involving laser weapons, and that is the big one. It is significant that back in October, representatives of the U.S. Space, the Strategic Space and Defense Command, talked about the fact that China had already been able to point a laser at a U.S. spy satellite and illuminate it. In other words, light it up as a prelude to blowing it out of the sky. And it would be streams of photons. So this means that the Chinese have a very advanced laser anti-satellite and possibly anti-missile program, a strategic defense initiative or Star Wars all their own. We'll be back in a minute on World Crisis Radio.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Question of the Chinese laser anti-satellite and quite possibly anti-missile capability, which was shown quite possibly in the recent Chinese test where the Chinese shot down, destroyed one of their own satellites. This is an event which has not been focused on by the U.S. media. And we're going back now to October. We have a representative of the U.S. Joint Functional Combat Command for Integrated Missile Defense complaining that the Chinese had lit up a U.S. spy satellite with a laser. This was monitored from Kwajalein Atoll in the South Pacific. And he says, we sensed the projection of beams against the spacecraft and could identify the streams of photons. So that's a Chinese People's Liberation Army laser. And it's now made explicit at that meeting of the finance oligarchs in Davos for the World Economic Summit, the World Economic Forum. We have a woman colonel, a senior colonel of the People's Liberation Army. Her name is Yao Yinzhu. And Senior Colonel Yao Yinzhu commented this past January 26th in the context of the World Economic Forum that the Chinese government would like to keep space as a peaceful place for human beings, but personally, she is not, she's pessimistic about it. She's pessimistic about it. Colonel Yao Yinzhu is the head of the Asia-Pacific office of the Academy of Military Science in Beijing. She says, outer space is going to be weaponized in our lifetime. And she issues a warning to the neocon fascist madmen. She says, some people think there's going to be a single superpower in space. This refers, of course, to the various raving statements from the neocon lunatics about how they're going to dominate space unilaterally and use it and keep everybody else out. Too late, neocon fascist madmen. The People's Liberation Army Senior Colonel Yao Yinzhu says if there's going to be a superpower in space, there won't be just one of them. And China will not be the only other country coming along. China will have company. So there's going to be a multilateral presence militarily in space. Now, this obviously is extremely ominous. And let me point out the implications for those who don't see it. It is clear that when the Anglo-Americans, the U.S., the British, and the Israelis set out on their aggressive projects against Iran and Syria now, perhaps Venezuela, perhaps North Korea, they're politically defeated from the very beginning. But now the question of military defeat looms large for them. What we saw in Lebanon in the summer, in July and August, was the Israeli militarists broke their sword against the Hezbollah lines and came out of it with one full armored division knocked out, no longer combat functional, as a result of the decimation suffered at the hands of those RPG-29s wielded by Hezbollah. Is that the land war model of the U.S., the British, and the Israelis has now failed against these defensive hedgehogs of the Hezbollah. But now we've got to look at the other question, which is the air war, the air supremacy, blitzkrieg, shock and awe, which is so essential for the entire Anglo-American concept of war. It has been clear to me, of course, for many years, that as soon as somebody in the world comes up with a good, reliable anti-aircraft laser, the ability of the U.S. to run wild through the world comes to an end, because this, as we saw, for example, in the first Gulf War, is based totally on the uncontested domination of the air. If China now has a successful laser anti-satellite weapon, it may have or be close to a laser anti-missile weapon, and it may also have a laser anti-aircraft weapon. And that means that all of the aggressive war planning of the neocon fascist madmen is simply knocked into a cocked hat. It is into the garbage bin of history. The neocons would always tell themselves, as they do today with Iran, that they have escalation dominance. But wait a minute. What happens if you don't have escalation dominance? What happens if your nuclear missiles and nuclear bombers are going to be shot down by a much more advanced weapon, the anti-aircraft, anti-missile, or anti-satellite laser? So we've got to factor that in. Also, you've got to imagine that Iran has abilities to wage various kinds of cyber warfare. They probably got some dollar-denominated securities that they can dump on the market. So again, this is quite simply the end of the world as we've known it. That is what is now being courted. We'll look at the politics of this. Let me just point to one. We had a meeting of APAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee. And this was a contest between Hillary Rodham Clinton and John Edwards to see who could better propitiate AIPAC. We'll be back with the details on that in just a second here on World Crisis Radio, brought to you by FreedomCalendar.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
KU-Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. I'm your host, Webster Topley, with a special emergency eve of war briefing, the looming attack on Iran and the wider Middle East war that is now hanging over all of our heads, the sword of Damocles of the 21st century. We just had this AIPAC meeting in New York City. This is very interesting. A couple of meetings have taken place right now. We have the AIPAC meeting in New York City, American Israeli Political Action Committee, the Zionist lobby. And here we have Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton appears in her true guise as an unreconstructed warmonger. Mrs. Clinton, the hag, the Crone, the Virago, the Termagant, comes out and says, U.S. policy must be clear and unequivocal. We cannot, we should not, we must not permit Iran to build or acquire nuclear weapons. In dealing with this threat, no option can be taken off the table. Hillary Clinton volunteers as cheerleader, as Chris Matthews has pointed out this past week, cheerleader for the coming U.S. attack on Iran, probably a party to an international conspiracy to wage aggressive war. We don't have the details of John Edwards' appearance, but I think he's trying to outbid her if his intervention at the Herzliya conference is any guide. Now, on the positive side in the Democratic Party, credit is due to Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who in a series of remarks this past week called for 9/11 truth. And naturally, without 9/11 truth, nothing else works. We'll try to get to some more on that in just a minute. However, let me contrast the sad state of the Democratic Party to the following. The 125th anniversary of the birth of Franklin D. Roosevelt, largely ignored in the United States by the Lilliputians of the current Democratic Party. Franklin D. Roosevelt, remembered by contrast in Krasnaya Zvezda, the newspaper of the Russian army, published by the Russian Defense Ministry. Here we have an article by the commentator Viktor Ruchkin, and he quotes at some length academician Andrei Kokoshin of the Russian Academy of Science. He is a committee chairman of the Russian State Duma and is writing in remembrance of the 125th anniversary of the birth of Roosevelt, an outstanding statesman of the 20th century. And he points out that it is thanks to Roosevelt in large measure that the anti-Hitler coalition, the anti-fascist coalition that won World War II, mainly the United States and the Soviet Union, that this was able to come together and block Hitler's attempts to rule large parts of the world. He points out that it was the New Deal that brought the United States out of the deep crisis of the Great Depression, which Roosevelt put forward against the resistance of many representatives of big business, fascists, I would add. For the Soviet and Russian peoples, Roosevelt is one of the main leaders of the anti-Hitler coalition, which achieved a crushing victory over Nazi Germany and its satellites, and also the lend-lease deliveries were absolutely critical. And he quotes Marshal of the Soviet Union, Georgi Zhukov, specifying how critical those lend-lease division deliveries were. After Hitler's attack on the Soviets, Roosevelt, on June 24, 1941, announced U.S. readiness to support the Soviet people. We remember that Roosevelt, to a far greater degree than Churchill, sought to open a second front against German fascism on the west coast of Africa rather than in other places in order to hasten the defeat of the Axis. There are many reasons to believe that if Roosevelt had lived longer, Soviet relations with the U.S. would have developed in a different way. During the post-war years, they go on to criticize Truman and his nuclear bombing strategy. And again, this simply reminds us that effective foreign policy is not based on aggression, threats, and the neocon fascist madmen. The U.S. tradition is anti-colonialism, the Monroe Doctrine, not the occupation of Iraq, the good neighbor policy, not the bullying of Latin America, the lend-lease and Marshall Plan policies, economic aid, economic development, world prosperity, shared interest, and on the domestic front, the Social Security Act, the GI Bill of Rights, the Wagner Act, the right to strike, to form unions, and so forth, without the Taft-Hartley right-to-work nonsense. This is effective policy, and this is what we need. Now, in terms of what to do in the face of this tremendous emergency, where it's a good idea to remember what we can learn from Roosevelt and others in the past, let us now look at the current phase. We're probably 6, 8, 10 weeks away from the outcome of something very serious, although it can come sooner, as it's pointed out. The first thing I want to talk to you about are 9/11 Truth Squads. We have a website, 911truthsquads.com. It's in the process of being put up. The idea here is simply that we now have the New Hampshire primary, the Iowa caucuses, the Nevada primary, and the South Carolina primary. These are, by and large, during the year 2007, the only opportunities we ever have to question, to confront, to interrogate, to force candidates from the ruling class and the oligarchy to mingle with us at the hoi polloi and to give us straight answers about the urgent issues that face the United States and the world. The questions, of course, are not what's your favorite color or what's your favorite pizza topping, but where do you stand on 9/11 truth, on the looming attack on Iran, on imperialism in general, on world monetary reform, world economic recovery, and the need to break the power of the London and New York finance oligarchs. Your only chance to do this is, generally speaking, in New Hampshire, Iowa, Nevada, South Carolina, these early primary states. These candidates have to go into barbershops, restaurants, workplaces, factories, if you can find any factories, old folks' homes. They're going to be parading up and down the streets of Manchester, New Hampshire. The basic equipment you need to confront them is two people and a third person with a cell phone or a camera, a camcorder of some type. Time magazine has put us up. We're the people of the year, right? A big cover story. We determine the contents of the new media. We determine the macaca moment. Remember, it was the macaca moment of the racist George Allen, where he revealed his unreconstructed racism that flipped the Senate by losing George Allen, the Virginia Senate race. And this does add up to something in the larger scheme of things. We can do much better. We can essentially show what these candidates are made of. Mrs. Clinton is a warmonger trying to conceal the fact that she's a warmonger. Obama is somebody who's very likely to be a warmonger, who's trying even harder to conceal that he's a warmonger. With Edwards, you've got a warmonger who conceals it 6 days a week, but then goes wild when it comes to the Herzliya conference. On the side of the Republicans, Giuliani is the one most heavily involved in 9/11 crimes. He got the warning on the morning of 9/11 to get out of Building 7 because the two towers were going to come down and he should save himself. But the office workers, the firemen, and the policemen were left to die in those buildings. And later on, of course, Giuliani distinguished himself by cynically playing the firemen against the policemen with his scoop and dump policy and destroyed the crime scene in flagrant violation of many federal laws. McCain, an unreconstructed warmonger, somebody who is a borderline psychotic, wants to escalate the war in Iraq, somebody who can be, thoroughly destabilized. As Arianna Huffington says in a recent, she says she clashed with McCain at Davos, and anybody with a camcorder and a few questions can essentially knock McCain out of the race by putting that up on YouTube or 9/11 blogger, I would add. And you've also got other Republican candidates. So this is now the possibility. So we're going to have 911truthsquads.com. You'll get a summary of the rationale, breaking into the media food chain, breaking the controlled environment, injecting real politics, real issues, the right and duty of every person in this country. And that's the overview there. Profiles of the candidates, what kinds of questions that can be tailored to each candidate will soon be available at 911truthsquads.com. Plus the results. We've already had Senator Dodd confronted in Dover, New Hampshire on January 20th. You can find that written up with pictures on 9/11 Blogger. Jesse Jackson was confronted, as we heard last week, by some very, very sharp and active, energetic students from Temple University in Philadelphia. He was challenged, and other kinds of challenge material will be posted at 911truthsquads.com. So this is what you can do. Mrs. Clinton is in New Hampshire this week. It's going to be a real shame if she's allowed to maintain that bubble that she likes to keep around herself. It's time for her to be asked some real questions about the real world and about life and death, because she says she's a warmonger in Iran, but a dove on Iraq. And Mrs. Clinton, this is impossible. You are lying. You are committing impeachable perjury before you even got anywhere near the presidency. And I think she's very much farther from the presidency than she can imagine. The other question then is beyond that, the question of the general strike. If everything fails, if all of the things we can do in advance are ineffective, then what we're left with is the most essential protest. What we saw in Spain in March of 2004, when about one-third of the Spanish people went into the plazas and squares of their country and protested the fascist Aznar and his desire to create a dictatorship in the wake of the NATO intelligence bombing of the Madrid railway system, blamed, of course, on ETA or Al-Qaeda and the controversy about that. But the main issue was no dictatorship of Aznar, hold the elections, and the reward that the Spanish people got from that was, for them, the Iraq war ended within a very, very few weeks after that, with the Zapatero government honored its promise to get out of that war. We've just celebrated Martin Luther King's birthday. The greatness of Martin Luther King, of course, is his ability to change with the times, and his methods of the 1950s and early 1960s are not necessarily the methods he would have taken into the 1970s had he lived. By 1968, his main project was to focus on the Vietnam War and on labor, and in particular the labor strike of the garbage men in Memphis, Tennessee. And King's plan was to organize a regional general strike, strike support for the striking garbage men and other workers in Memphis, Tennessee. So we have Martin Luther King's dying voice, the tactic and the method that he recommended to us as the last thing he did on earth is that of the general strike. Now, we've had him in the United States. San Francisco in the 1930s had a very highly developed general strike. Same thing in Minneapolis, St. Paul. More recently, you may remember in May of 1970 when Nixon invaded Cambodia, we had what amounted to a nationwide general strike, albeit limited to the student milieu. And this was complicated then by the shootings at Kent State. Those are examples of mass strike, general strike ferment of the type that we can expect to see in the future if we begin to talk about it now. Now, some people will say, why don't you just go down to John Sweeney at the AFL-CIO and order up a nice general strike? Obviously, he won't do it. He probably can't do it at the present time. It's going to take a lot of political development and a lot of propaganda and agitation to make this possible. But ultimately, if Spain can do it, I often add that the last couple of times I've been in Italy, in December of 2004, December of 2005, and then again in the summer another recent year, three general strikes were held as a prelude to the defeat of the Berlusconi reactionary Bush, pro-Bush government in that country. So if these countries, if Italy and Spain can do it, and we've got all this evidence in the recent American past, we've also got, if you like, the classic one, the Kapp Putsch of 1920, the Kapp-Luttwitz Putsch against the Weimar Republic, when a group of generals and top bureaucrats decided that they would reinstitute the monarchist regime of the Hohenzollern royal family, imperial family in Berlin. They were stopped by one of the most comprehensive general strikes in all of history that literally shut down everything in Germany. Not one wheel moved, not one trolley, not one train, not one generator, turbine, water wheel, or anything. This, I think, is the general idea. Of course, in the meantime, remember our big mobilization of July to August when we did the take back the airwaves from the fascist parrots, the O'Reillys, the Hannitys, the various Limbaughs and so forth, break into their sanctum sanctorum with 9/11 truth, with the fact that the United States people reject this notion of the looming attack on Iran. So we've got all of that going on, and again, you've got to keep up with it at 9/11 truthsquads.com. Also, don't forget the false flag news, because we're hearing now more and more about the possible drills and exercises that will be used to bootleg this entire operation through. So that is the grim military situation. The U.S. and the British defeated in Iraq, defeated in Afghanistan, the Israelis defeated in southern Lebanon. Any world war undertaken under these circumstances will be lost. It will be a defeat. It will be a disaster, a catastrophe, and so forth. And that is the bottom line. Now, I want to also talk to people about mobilization. It's going to be important to mobilize and stay mobilized. In the words of a Spanish anti-fascist that I met in Europe some decades ago, the basic fact is you have to get active or you will get radioactive. Be active or be radioactive. Nothing is more pointless than to sit around complaining about a police state, complaining about a looming World War III. The big effort is to put an end to these threats by mobilizing against them, to take arms against the sea of troubles, and by opposing end them. In terms of what I can contribute to this, I try to keep an intelligence overview, and I'll be back in a minute to talk about ways to keep in touch with the intelligence overview in the parlous times ahead.
This is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio, our final segment today, Webster Tarpley broadcasting from Washington, D.C. I want to give you an overview of various briefings that I have posted in various places where you can get them and ways that you can keep in touch day to day, hour by hour, in various parts of the United States with the kind of a strategic overview that I think everybody needs to have. On Friday afternoon, I taped a number of programs at Manhattan Neighborhood Network in New York City. This is cable access in the borough of Manhattan, New York. You can find this at the MNN, Manhattan Neighborhood Network website. The programs are those associated with Joshua Walensky, with Joe Friendly, and with Paula Gloria Zaccona. This past Wednesday, I was on the James Fetzer program on Genesis Network. That may be archived over there. On Thursday evening, I was on the Rents program, also at Genesis. If things really begin to happen, KPFK Los Angeles often calls me for a commentary on big breaking events. That's the Pacifica station in Los Angeles. That's a place to get it. I think their noonday news comes on at 3:30 Eastern Time, 12:30 Pacific. You can also hear me at Guns and Butter on KPFA San Francisco, Berkeley. That's the Bonnie Faulkner program. I'm sometimes on Sally O'Brien's Where We Live on WBAI New York. And you can also hear me from time to time at the Latino Media Collective on WPFW here in Washington, D.C. Let's see. I'm also sometimes available on the Alex Jones program on Genesis, Jack Blood, sometimes. From time to time on K-Talk, Salt Lake City, with Jack Stockwell, another good friend. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank, Cloak and Dagger DE, Lenny Bloom's program. These are all places where you can keep in touch day by day, hour by hour, to the kind of thing that's going on. It's also now very likely that I will be starting a program on Genesis Network in the coming weeks. This would be gcnlive.com. Do look there, and you will find out more things about my activities. But I hope that everybody will use every means available to keep an overview. The hysteria is going to be very great when these things begin going off. Remember, it's going to be important to have a demonstration where you are the day the war starts, and to have another bigger one on the first available Saturday in the first available big city near you. So we'll see you next week here on World Crisis Radio. Your host, Webster G. Tarpley, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. And thanks again to freedomcalendar.com for all of your calendar needs. See you soon.